what we saw last time, some powerful truths. We said some good news and some bad news. The good news is we're not the same as we used to be. The bad news is we're the same as we used to be. And that's what it is. The good news is we're not the same as we used to be. We were dead in sin and now we're alive. We were dead and now we're born again, as the Bible talks about. It even says that we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we're different in that sense. We're not the same. But then there's bad news. Bad news is we are the same. We still have the pull to do wrong, which the Bible calls the flesh or the old man, those kind of things. And we want you to see this. Remember, this is our, in our study of the conflict, this is one of the things we saw. We saw that we are different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, amen, be in Christ, we're a new creation. We're now in union with Christ. We've been born again. The Holy Spirit indwells with us, indwells in us. And so we are different. We're not the same. But there's a problem. We are the same in the sense that there's a battle. There's still the flesh and the spirit, that kind of battle and that kind of conflict goes on. And we said it was so important for us to understand this because there are people who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, have an eternal life, going to heaven, and because of the fact that they've still got the pull to do wrong, sometimes people say, you know, if I'm really a Christian, why do I think these thoughts? If I'm really a Christian, why do I do these things? We must realize that there is that battle that is going on inside of us, and it'll be there for as long as we're in this body, until God changes us. So there's that battle of the flesh and the spirit going on. Now, we remember we have the pull to do wrong and, in a sense, the power to do right. That's where we were last time. Now, that's the conflict, and it's a very powerful thing. I told you that before, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was 19 years old. I was in college. And I never understood the Christian life. I never knew the idea of living in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is how you have the victory and those kind of things. And I remember, I told y'all, I think several weeks ago, that there was a time as a relatively young Christian, or let's put it this way, very immature Christian, because I had not grown, that I wished that I wasn't a Christian. Because I said I was going to try to live for Christ, but I kept doing all these wrong things. And I finally got to the point that I said, I wish I wasn't a Christian, because then I wouldn't have this pressure to live good for God. There's that battle. We want to see that battle. We started off last week by looking at what Paul said. The great man, the apostle, he says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. He said, what a wretched man that I am. The things that I strive to do for God, I don't even do them, and the things that I detest, I end up doing. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. That was Romans chapter 7. Paul dealt with that issue. Now, we are different. Union with Christ, we're placed in Him. We've been born again. We are alive on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell. Now, let me just say this, because I brought this up last week. And for many, it was a new, maybe it had been a new concept. But when we talk about being born again, we're talking about being spiritually alive. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about that when Adam and Eve sinned, God told them, in the day that you eat that fruit, dying you shall die. And the minute they ate the fruit, they died spiritually. Before that time, they could know God and have a capacity to deal with Him and talk with Him and have that fellowship with Him, and then they died spiritually and they ran off. And there had to be some changes. And so every one of us come into this world spiritually dead. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man, the soulish man, does not understand the things of God, neither can he know them, because they are taught or they're spiritually discerned. We have to be alive. And so an incredible great truth is that when you trust Christ as Savior, you are born again. You become alive spiritually on the inside. That now you have that capacity to understand God and to know Him and to relate to Him in that way. That's different than the Holy Spirit, who also comes to indwell inside of each of us. An incredible truth that when you trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says, what, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Glorify God in your bodies. The Holy Spirit actually comes to indwell in us. That's not happened throughout history. In the Old Testament, believers were changed, born again, when they believed in the coming Messiah. This is Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell in them. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells in us. When David wrote Psalm 51, what did he say? Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because it wasn't a permanent indwelling as we have. So that's what we saw. We are different. We're in union with Christ. We're born again. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But we are the same because there's this battle. We still have the flesh, the pull to do wrong. That takes us to this third part that we wanted to see this morning. And if time, Lord, you know, time permits, the Lord wills, we're going to go into the whole idea of the fruit as well. How do we have the victory? How do we gain the victory? Well, there are really three things. We must remember the power that we have. We must remember the position that we're in. And we must remember these two pulls and what we do with what happens. Let's start with the power. must realize that we have the power to have victory. We have the power to live for God, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Look back at verse 16. In Galatians 5, we just looked at verse 17. Look one verse back to verse 16. Galatians 5, 16 says this, "But I say," Paul's writing, "walk by the Spirit," literally, "walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Galatians 5:16 says, the way that we can have victory is that we live in the power that God has given to us, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, He lives inside of us, He empowers us, and the only way that we're going to have victory, as we start looking at the aspect of victory, is you must rely on that power. If you do not rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, you will yield to the flesh, and you will sin. And there's that battle, as the very next verse says. It says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, so you may not do the things that you choose to do and that you want to do. So there is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what it says. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust, the desires of the flesh. It didn't say, don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, and you will walk in the Spirit. It's not backwards. See, there's a lot of people that think that the way you live the Christian life is you get the set of rules, because everybody wants to know what's right and what's wrong and what the rules are, and you put the set of rules up, and then you live by those rules, and you're spiritual. That's not the way it works. It didn't say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you'll walk in the Spirit. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must live in God's power. Spiritual life, and the Christian life, is spiritual. It's not a set of rules. We obey God's word, but we obey God's word in God's power through us. So it's the power. And as I said to you, that there was that time in my life, because I didn't understand this, I didn't understand how to live the Christian life, I kept waking up every day saying, okay, God, I'm going to try to be really good for you today. Let me see. Let me think of the things I'm not supposed to do. Let me think of the things I'm supposed to do. And it wouldn't be very long, and I'd already failed. And I said, this is too much pressure. Until I understood that I don't live the Christian life in my power. It's not me trying to be a good guy. It's God's power, which He has given to us, lived out in our lives. We obey the Scripture in God's power, not the flesh. And so that's the way to have the victory is in that sense. So we live in that way. There's a second thing that I want you to see that you need to remember, and that's our position. We talk about position. When you trust Christ as Savior, God actually takes you and places you in Christ. That sounds funny. It's a spiritual thing, but we are in Christ right now. In fact, if you were in the first service, we've already recognized the fact that not only are we in Christ, but just as Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, you are in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our position. But I want you to see something from the book of Romans, chapter 6. Just go ahead and go to the book of Romans. Right before 1 and 2 Corinthians, of course, as you go back toward the front of your Bible, Romans chapter 6 gives us a great truth dealing with the idea of our position. Because the key is, you don't have to listen to the flesh anymore. You don't have to be controlled by the flesh anymore. You don't have to listen. You got a different position. Notice what it says, Romans chapter 6, look at verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old self, that's the flesh, was crucified, literally means put to death, with Him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with. Literally, in the Greek, it has that idea of made powerless. It doesn't say done away. Some people read this and they get confused and they think, oh, I trusted Christ, then that power of sin, the bent to do wrong, is gone. I shouldn't have it at all. It's not what this is saying. It says it's rendered powerless. That means you don't have to listen to it anymore. Before you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, basically you're a fallen person with a conscience, with the bent to do wrong, and that's what you are. Now as a child of God, you're a fallen person with a bent to do wrong, but you also now are alive in Christ, and you've got the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to obey the pulls of the flesh. We don't have to. And that's why He says, knowing this, verse 6, knowing that our old self, our flesh, was crucified, put to death with Him, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, is what it literally says, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, slaves to that pull to do wrong. For He goes on to say, for he who has died is freed from sin. You died with Christ. You rose again to a new life of Christ. That's what Romans 6 is really trying to get across. That is our position. Now, I told you this story, I think it's been a couple of months ago. You remember when I coached at Mississippi State and Bob Tyler was the head football coach? And you know, if he's the head coach and you're an assistant coach, he tells you, go out of the field, do this. You do whatever he says. Right after that, I resigned before I went to seminary. I resigned from Mississippi State and I started working for a State Farm agent. And I remember, and it was a good job, I liked it, but I knew I was going to seminary. And I can remember that one night I had this dream that I was sitting at the desk for State Farm, and Coach Tyler came in and said, J.D., what are you doing in here? You got to get out on the practice field. And I went, yeah, what am I doing? I don't know. It's Coach Tyler. If he says go to the practice field, I got to go to the practice field. But in the dream, I kept saying, but wait a minute, I'm supposed to be working for State Farm. And I don't remember how the dream ended. But what the point is, I didn't work for Coach Tyler anymore. I worked for State Farm, had a new boss. I didn't have to go to the practice field because he said go to the practice field. And in that same sense, the flesh says, look over there, do this, lie, cheat, do this, fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you may say, well, okay, but you don't have to, because that's not your boss anymore. You died to the flesh. It's been rendered powerless because now you are a new person in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit. And so you no longer have to yield to that. You don't have to. You don't have to listen. That's the old boss. And so when there's the pull to do wrong, you can either obey it or you can say, I don't have to. I don't have to fall that way. I don't have to follow that way. So we have the power to live, and we have a new position. Our position is in Christ. We die with Him. We rose to a new life. There's the third part. And this is one you may have not seen. Some people have read through the Bible, and they've never really exactly seen this one. Look at Romans 6. We're going to see that the pulls are there, and you decide what you're going to do. Whichever one of the pulls you yield to, that's who you serve. Now think about this. You're there. You're walking through life. The flesh says, look over there. Look over there. Look over there. And you're going, yeah, I want to look over there. I really want to look over there because that's what the power says. That's what the pull is. Or, in a sense, since you're born again, the Holy Spirit is inside you and the Word of God comes back and says, don't look over there. Live righteously and godly in this present age, and all these kind of things. And which one are you going to yield to? The bottom line is you have the choice. And you decide whether you live in the flesh or you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 16. Notice what he does. It's incredible. He says, do you not know? He just gives us a principle. Don't you know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either sin, which results in death, or of obedience, which results in righteousness. Now, here's his point. He says, don't you realize that whichever one you yield to is the one you're going to serve? And if you yield to the flesh, that's sin. He says, results in death. And if you yield to the Spirit, so to speak, it results in righteousness. So he says, look, you've got the choice, don't you know? Whichever one you're going to yield to, whichever one you're going to present yourself. It's just like I can say, well, I'm going to go work for Coach Tyler. Well, you can if you want to. You don't have to because he's really not your boss anymore. Well, I can if I want to, sure. Or I can work for State Farm. You can yield to the flesh, you can yield to the Spirit. And he says, don't you know whichever one you present yourself to is the one you're going to serve? Look at verse 19. This is the key. He says, I'm speaking in human terms. Sometimes we'd say, Paul, I don't know how human that is. I can't figure this thing out. But most of the time, he's pretty understanding. And he says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. He says, let me put it down simply. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, that's in the past, just as when you were an unbeliever, you presented yourselves to the flesh, to impurity and lawlessness, which resulted in further lawlessness, making of sin. So now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You know what the bottom line is? He says, just like you used to live in the power of the flesh, you need to live in the power of the Spirit. Just like before you became a believer, you used to, there was the pulls there, and that's what you obeyed, and it resulted in more sinfulness, so to speak. He says, now, in that same way you used to do that, do it the other way. Yield yourself to righteousness, living according to the Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit, so you can have the victory. That's the most powerful aspect of this thing. Because I hear people say, I just can't help it. You can't help it. We can't help it. We choose to do wrong. I want to do wrong. That's what the flesh is. I want to do wrong. Don't you want to do wrong? Do you not want to do wrong sometimes? If it's only me. I mean, think about it. We want to. That's the pull. He says, just as you used to do it that way, Paul is saying to these believers, listen, you're different. You got to live it. You died and rose again with Christ just like you used to live that way. Don't present yourself that way anymore. Present yourself to God, to righteousness. Powerful. Now go back to verse 12. Same chapter, Romans 6. Look at verse 12. Look what he does. Actually, look back at verse 11 because I like the way it flows. He says this. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, to the flesh, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, you don't have to yield that pull to do wrong. You don't work for Him anymore. And then the key, verse 12. Therefore, that's a summary statement. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Quit going and yielding to that flesh. So that you don't have to let it be the king of your life. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Quit letting your body do those things wrong. But present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That is a powerful passage. If we would do that, we'd be okay. He just says, listen, don't do it anymore. Consider yourself dead to sin, alive to Christ. Stop letting sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. As you no longer present yourself to do wrong, present yourself to do right. And that's the power, and that's the power aspect. And here is this whole idea. The victory comes when we got the power of the Holy Spirit. We're in a position that we died and rose again to Christ, to a new life, and the pulls are there, and you and I decide which one we're going to follow. Very powerful aspect. Who are you going to serve? The old boss, the flesh? Or are you going to serve the new boss, the Holy Spirit? That battle will not end, by the way. You have heard people say, when you come to Jesus Christ, everything is going to be great. Well, it is great in the sense that you were dead, now you're alive, and you're on your way to heaven, and you got spiritual gifts, and you're in the body of Christ, and you're now holy and blameless, and all those great things. But it's not all great, because you live in a fallen world, and you're still sinful, and you can do things wrong, and you've got the pull to do wrong. And so when you come to Christ as your Savior, there is going to be a conflict on the inside of you for as long as you are in this body. Philippians 3, Paul says, we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, who shall change this old lowly body into a glorious body like His. That's the flesh part. It's a very powerful thing. 1 Corinthians 15 says we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This old mortal body, which is corrupt, will be changed to an immortal body. Just incredible truths. And that's where we are. That's the victory. Why is it important that we live that way? Because it affects our testimony, it affects our fellowship with God and others, and it affects the results of our lives. Let me say that again. Why? What difference does it make? We trust Christ as Savior, we're going to heaven. We are different. We still have the battle. What difference does it really make whether we have the victory or not? Because the truth is, and you know this is the truth, that whether you ever serve God or not, whether you ever live for God or not, whether you do anything righteous or not, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to heaven. Because of His promise to you. He says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. He didn't say, if you do good, I'll give you eternal life. He says, I've given you eternal life. And you'll never perish. Nobody can pluck you out. So why is it so important that we as believers live righteously and have victory? What does it matter? Because we could say, I'm going to heaven anyway. Why does it matter? Three things. It affects our testimony before this fallen world. Number two, it affects our fellowship with God and with others. When we have sin in our life, not only are we out of fellowship with our Savior, we're out of fellowship with other believers. And the third thing that it does, it affects the results of our lives. When we stand before Jesus Christ, He'll either say, well done, good and faithful servant, or He'll say, well, come on in, you know, you don't have any rewards. 1 Corinthians 3 says, you stand before Him and the fire will determine what it is, and many will be saved. It says, yet through the fire, it's like you go in and you say, well, I'd like to have had some rewards, but I don't. And that's what we see. Now, let me stop for a minute and open it up. Any questions, comments on any of this stuff that we've talked about? Because we can go in and start talking about the fruit thing, but I just want to leave this open for a second and let's talk about it. Any questions, comments on what we're dealing with? Jonathan.
And 17, he's going to say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Then you have people say, well, if you go ahead and you say you're saved, and you go ahead and continue out those desires of the flesh, then you're not saved because you're not walking in the Spirit, mm-hmm. even though you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, walking in the Spirit and salvation are two different things. When a person says, well, if you're saved, you will live righteously. Well, it depends on whether as a saved person you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit or as a saved person you're living in the flesh. And if you're a saved person living in the flesh, Galatians 5 goes on down in about verses 19, 20, and 21 and says these are the deeds that come out when you're controlled by the flesh. And there are a lot of bad things there. And then verses, I think it's 21, 22, 23, and there it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. So when a person says to you, if you've trusted Christ as Savior and you do wrong things, that just shows you're not a Christian. That's wrong. Because as a Christian, you are capable of any sin. You still have the flesh, the bent to do wrong. You still have the battle going on, and whichever one you yield to is the one you're going to serve. You either can have in your life as a believer the deeds of the flesh, or you can have the fruit of the Spirit. So when they say that, Jonathan, I just say, well, walking in the Spirit and salvation are two different things. Walking in the Spirit means I'm living my life controlled by the Holy Spirit.
But then they turn around and they run the same vein, they worship the Spirit. Because they're wanting that Spirit fullness constantly.
Okay, that's a good point. Let me see if I can. There are people who worship the Spirit, and they always talk about the Holy Spirit, and they always talk about what the Holy Spirit's doing. They're right to want the filling of the Spirit constantly, because filling of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit are the same thing. We are to constantly live in the power of the Holy Spirit and that kind of thing. But it is not an emotional thing necessarily. And there are some people who get confused, and they think unless they're having some kind of emotional experience, then they must not be walking or being filled with the Spirit. In fact, there's some people, and there's a term being used all over the place today, and it's the term anointing. He's anointed. He's anointed speaker tonight. Well, if you've got the Holy Spirit in one sense, you're already anointed, because he says that unction is within us, the Holy Spirit. But the anointing, best I can tell, all throughout the Old Testament, the anointing was for prophets, priests, and kings, and the anointed one is Jesus Christ. And that we might say this person is a, you know, should be. If a guy's going to get up and speak, he better be Spirit-filled. He better be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what you're supposed to be. So there are some, I think, who confuse emotions, feelings, that whole aspect of trying to say walking in the Spirit or whatever that means to them.
But isn't the filling of the Holy Spirit an outpouring of worshiping God and you're praising Him rather than trying to worship the Spirit and just pursue that? There, it seems to me like they're getting away from worshiping the true God, even though there's three in one.
Yeah. You're saying they're putting the emphasis on the Holy Spirit rather than on Jesus. Okay, the Bible tells us this, that the one we are to focus on is Christ. It is the Father who sent the Son. It is the Son who came to die. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals and empowers. Jesus Christ said that I'm not going to leave you alone, that when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come, and when He comes, He will speak of me. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lift up Jesus Christ. When people are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they're supposed to be talking about Christ and the Savior and the salvation and the truths and those principles. When they're lifting up something else, basically the Spirit's work is not to lift up the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is to lift up Jesus Christ. So I would agree with you on that. Doesn't mean necessarily that they're not believers or they're way off. It just means that the emphasis of the Holy Spirit is always supposed to be lifting up Christ, not the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit basically says stuff like, I'm not even going to, you don't look at me, look at Him, because that's the thing. Yes.
In Romans 6:16, when it says, either of sin resulting in death, and then obedience resulting in life.
Okay. When he's writing to Christians in Romans chapter 6, and when he says, sin leading into death, there are a lot of different kinds of death. There's a physical death. There is a spiritual death, which is, if left undone, if we're spiritually dead, when we die physically, we'll be separated from God. As a believer, we can have spiritual death in our lives, meaning that we have sin in our lives, and then we, in a sense, have broken that fellowship. That's the death he's talking about there. What you've got to do is get back in your fellowship with God. And so he says, if you're controlled by the flesh, there's going to be death in your life. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be the righteousness coming out. That's all he's meaning there. Some people look at that and say, well, you mean if as a Christian, if you get sin in your life, you die and you're going to be separated from God. No, that's not what that's saying. There's definitely a breaking in the fellowship, but never a breaking in the relationship. Yeah. Right. I think what if he said, how does pride come into it? Where you say, hey, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. I'm doing pretty great. And then you blow it. Well, first of all, even if you're doing pretty great, you must realize the only reason you're doing pretty great is because it's God through you. It's not you. You can't do it. You cannot live the Christian life. When people say, you think the Christian life's hard? I say, that's not hard at all. It's impossible. You cannot live the Christian life. You don't have the power to live the Christian life. Your power is the flesh, and it's always wrong. So the power that you have, or the power that God has given you, has got to be Him through you. And so when we are doing okay, when we're living righteously and godly in this present age, we give all the praise and all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God through us and never ourselves. So probably if we begin to think we're doing pretty good, we're already in trouble. Yeah, you know. Yes.
How does one quit, or, you know, like, it's real easy to try and live in the flesh and live godly in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
How do you quit trying to live godly in the flesh and know that you're living in the power of God?
Okay, I think she said, how do you quit living in the flesh and live in the power of God? How do you know that? I think it's a lot more simple than we want to make it. I mean, we want to make it some kind of miraculous thing. It's the normal way we're supposed to live as a Christian. And I've told you this. Here's what I think you do. I think when you wake up in the mornings, that if there is any known sin in your life that you know of, you deal with it. You confess it and forsake it, basically. Then You are digging the scripture, so you know the things that God says are right and wrong, and you live your life according to the Word of God, assuming that as long as you are in fellowship, as long as you don't have any open sin, that you are in the power of the Holy Spirit. And pretty quickly, you can realize very quickly when you are now looking at something in the flesh or doing something in the flesh, and what you do immediately is confess it, and you're right back in the fellowship. So I think the normal Christian life is supposed to be people being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. But we still have that pull, and sometimes we listen to it. It's pretty hard, yeah.
J.B., in Galatians 5, verse 21, where it talks about all the things that we shouldn't do and all the sins and everything, then it says anyone who practices such things are not inheriting
God. Right.
Is that speaking of Christians and non-Christians?
No, it's a good question. At the very end of 21, where he lists all of these deeds of the flesh, he is saying that people, deeds of the flesh, this kind of lifestyle or these kinds of actions or the flesh, it doesn't inherit the kingdom of God. So he's saying that, not that he's saying that if you do that, you won't go to heaven. He says that people who don't go to heaven, this is how they live. This is the flesh. This is all they have. So he's just listing that. He does the same thing in the either 2 Corinthians or someplace. Lists a whole bunch of things and said those who practice these things don't inherit the kingdom of God. Bottom line is that's the lifestyle of a fleshly person. And we're not talking about a Christian fleshly. We're talking about a soulish person who has no capacity to serve God, to please God, to live for God because he's dead in sin. And their result is they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the only way they can is they put their faith in Christ and they're changed. But that doesn't mean, and here's the thing, and there are some people who will take a verse like that, and they will say that if you do any of these wrong things, you're not going to heaven. It can't possibly be. I mean, he tells us in all kinds of, then why do we confess sin? Then why do we need to confess? Why does he tell us to stop letting sin reign in our bodies? Let me ask you a question. What was, in your opinion, when you studied the New Testament, what was the worst church, the people who did the most things bad? Which church? The Corinthians. They did everything from having sex in the church to getting drunk at the Lord's Supper to taking lawsuits with each other, doing all these kind of things. Does Paul one time ever say to them they're not Christians? He calls them the very beginning of the letter. He says to the saints who were in Corinth, who God has blessed you. And then he says, now, by the way, let's talk about some of the things that are going on. Right? He never once says to them, you guys better check it out because you're probably not Christians. Look how you're living. He doesn't say that ever. So, and there are people who put that on us, and it scares us to death. We want to live righteously and godly in this present age. We want to do it not because we think we're going to lose our salvation. We want to do it because we love the one who saved us, and we want to live righteously and godly. And it's only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the position that we have, understanding the pulls. As long as you live, you're going to have the desire to do wrong, as long as you live physically. One day he's going to change you in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. If you don't die physically, if Jesus Christ comes back before you die physically, in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, this body will be changed. You'll be caught up together with him. And you'll go, hey, I don't have those same pulls anymore. No, because your main pull is to Jesus. That's what you want. Okay, what else? Questions, comments, anything else? Was that the second bell? It was? Okay. And what we'll do is we'll review a little bit this next week. I know some of you won't be here. Many of you may not be here, but because school's out. But we'll look at that, and then we'll get into this whole idea of the fruit of the fruit in the Christian life. What is it? How do we produce it? Because the bottom line is this. If you live in the flesh, as we just read the verses Jonathan was talking about, if you live in the flesh, there will be the works of the flesh, and there will be sin. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life, and we'll see what that is as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thank you for each one who has come. Lord, for the college students, the ones that will be gone for the summer and the ones who are graduating, Lord, I'm going to miss them so bad. Thank you for bringing them into our lives. Thank you for bringing them to our church. And for those who are not graduating, we pray that if they're gone for the summer, they'll come back as quick as they can. For the others who might be here all summer, we praise your name for that. And for those who are gone, who take jobs in other places, Lord, we pray that you will take them, you will use them as they spread throughout this town, this community, this city, this state, this world. You will use them to bring honor and glory to Christ. Use them to see people could be brought to Jesus and be trained and equipped. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.